This is Radio Boston. I'm Lisa Mullins.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
As President Obama tells Americans tonight about the state of their nation, we're going to update you right now on the state of a problem that the president calls an affront to our basic decency. That problem is sexual assault on America's college campuses. The White House Council on Women and Girls reports that one out of every five female students have been assaulted on campus.
Last week, President Obama created a task force to reckon with the epidemic and develop recommendations for colleges to prevent the crime. He's the first president to directly target the problem of college sexual assault.
And he's putting the onus in part on college men and women themselves. Here's what he said last week.
We've got to teach young people, men and women, to be brave enough to stand up and help put an end to these crimes. We've especially got to teach young men to show women the respect they deserve. I want every young man in America to know that real men do not hurt women.
In reality, according to the White House's report, no one in America is more at risk of being raped or sexually assaulted than women at our colleges and universities. That's a frightening fact. And it's one of the issues we want to wrestle with in today's program. To help us do that now is the Associated Press's White House reporter, Nedra Pickler, who's in Washington. Nedra, thanks for joining us on Radio Boston.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
First, I want to start off once again with that fact, because I think it bears repeating. Nobody in America, says this report, stands a higher risk of being raped or assaulted sexually than a woman on a college campus. Does the White House finding say that the problem is getting worse?
No, not necessarily that it's getting worse, but basically that it's existed but not gotten attention. I mean, all the statistics that were in this report from the White House are statistics that have been out there before, but until, you know, there's an event with the president talking about them, we haven't been talking about them in the press at the level that we are now these days.
Why is he talking about it?
Well, a couple of reasons. One is he has this Council on Women and Girls at the White House, which nothing like that has ever existed before, that is focusing on problems that are in particular a threat to women in this country. So they had the initiative to bring up this report. Secondly, you know, here he's someone who's been focused on sexual assault in some ways because he's had to, as the leader of the military that is under its own fire for a sexual assault epidemic. And also, I think it's a little personal for him. He mentioned that, and also his aides say, you know, his daughters will be going to college not too long from now, and these are probably really scary figures for any parent that's sending a young woman to college.
Okay, that idea of learning lessons from the military I'd like to pick up in just a few minutes. But first, I want to bring in the conversation, actually just to let listeners know as a heads up right now, we want to hear your questions and comments about this issue in just a few minutes. Are you a college student? Are you the parent of a college student? And how would you like to see colleges deal with the sexual assault cases on campus? You can give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And as always, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. So let's bring into the conversation first, though, Gina Scaramella, who is here in our studio. She's the executive director of the Boston Area Rape Crisis Center, very familiar with the issue of rape on college campuses. Gina, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And with us from Washington, Kevin Kruger, president of the National Association of Student Personnel Administrators. That group has just established some guidelines to help student affairs professionals on campus, which they just sent to the White House task force. It has 90 days to come up with some solutions. Kevin, thank you for being with us.
Nice to be with you.
Gina, you are routinely talking to survivors of sexual assault in the Boston area in particular. Are the majority of those that you talk to college students?
A huge percentage of the people we talk to are college students. We serve about 40 campuses at our center and have several hundred people of student age using one of our services every year.
Several hundred. What causes more sexual assaults on college campuses? And do those assaults differ in any way from other kinds of assault that don't involve colleges?
I think what is challenging about campus sexual assault and sexual assault in general is that this really is one of the first times that a very public official has really taken on the issue. Sexual violence has always sort of been second sister to domestic violence and hasn't really been given the attention it needs around its own dynamics, issues, and areas of focus.
And it's being focused on because it is so prevalent. What is it about a college campus? What are the dynamics? What are the situations, the mindset maybe of the students themselves that lead to this?
Mm-hmm. There certainly are a lot of factors that are present on a college campus that would facilitate sexual assault happening more often. The age of the people involved, the fact that there's been decades of silence around the issue, and that there is certainly abuse of substances, abuse of people, are all factors that matter in terms of how sexual violence happens on campuses, and it's been allowed to happen, and that's why it's so exciting to see a sea change happening now.
The incidents, I would think, would maybe increase in part because students are living so closely together, maybe in some cases for the first time, if it's a member of the opposite sex who is doing the harassing or doing the assaulting. How much does that play into this?
It may play into it, but I think what we see is that, like all sexual violence, the reason that it happens is that there is someone who has an intention to have it happen, and they're able to manipulate the situation to their advantage, whether that's through the use of substances, through exploiting the vulnerabilities of the intended victim, through very carefully camouflaging their behavior and actions through party scene on a campus, for example, or their social group. And that's one of the things that the president did speak to very carefully, was around the need for social groups and, groups of men, groups of, all kinds of people to be able to identify and speak up if they see a problematic incident happening or starting to happen.
Kevin Kruger, your organization, NASPA, NASPA, does professional development for student affairs administrators in higher education. The group just came out with research on higher education institutions' responsibilities to students when it comes to the issues of sexual harassment and assault. What is the college's responsibility?
Well, before I just jump into that, just to piggyback on some of the statistics, two things that kind of are relevant in this conversation. One is that about 90% of the students who experienced a sexual assault knew their attacker. So it's part of this community of folks that are together at the campus. And about 90% also alcohol is involved in this. So it's a lot of different issues that affect this. It's a complex issue, obviously, but a couple things I think are relevant in our report and what we're trying to share. First of all, the Title IX responsibilities are pretty clear about what campuses should do, and there's a couple of places where the Office of Civil Rights have provided some very specific guidance to campuses.
Kevin, briefly describe what Title IX is and what it mandates.
Well, so Title IX really initially prohibits sex discrimination in educational institutions receiving federal assistance, and it used to be sort of an equity issue. It has now been expanded to include sexual harassment and any kind of sexual violence at all. So the Title IX requirements and the Office of Civil Rights have essentially given some very specific things to campuses they should pay attention to. And so here's a couple things that have changed over the last couple of years. And one is that anytime anybody reports any notion of sexual harassment or sexual violence or rape to anyone on campus, even a student employee, they must report that to a Title IX coordinator on campus. The whole idea here is that we really want to coordinate the way in which the victim is receives assistance, counseling, and way the case is adjudicated on campus, and not allow that to be to the individual judgment of the person who may have heard the first complaint. So that's a huge change. And I think one of the things we're trying to address is this is both a policy issue and how you adjudicate this so that there's a that happens quickly, consistently, and in a way that is fair to the victim. But the other thing is that I think that's very important is that we look at this as a community issue, that most of what we're going to have to do here is address the norms and the ways in which people think about relationships on campus. And so, for example, a lot of bystander intervention, which is a term that's being used on campus, which means that if you see something, you see a behavior that seems not right, to help educate students and train students that they have an obligation to intervene in some fashion. To help young men understand that that consent can only happen when a woman is sober, and that sex without continuous consent is sexual assault, and that a woman can change her mind at any time, and a woman can say anything she wants and say no at any time in the process, and if you're under the influence of alcohol or another drug, you can't give consent. And so trying to educate our young men about the climate they're operating under and what consent really means.
For one second, Nedra, I just want to speak to you there in Washington, because I know the Associated Press obtained under the Freedom of Information Act some records that revealed just how colleges have been reacting, because there are laws in place right now. We're hearing about these guidelines from Kevin and from NASPA, but there are laws in place right now. Problem is that colleges seem to be having a tough time investigating these kinds of crimes on campus. What did you learn from these documents you got from filing a Freedom of Information Act request?
The documents we got were complaints filed with the Education Department that schools were violating federal law in their response to a sexual assault. They were usually filed on behalf of an alleged victim. And you get the sense from reading these that in some cases, at least, colleges have sexual assault counselors who may be looking out more for the college's interest than the victim's interest. So there are accusations that the college, you know, tries to sweep this under the rug by encouraging the student not to report it, by questioning whether the student actually was assaulted, by maybe even encouraging them that they may want to take some time off from school. Those would all be violations of federal law. So there are several dozen complaints like this at the Education Department, which a lot of experts think is probably only a fraction of, you know, the incidence of this happening, because a lot of students wouldn't even know that they had this avenue to pursue a complaint.
Jeannie, you want to say something to that?
I think one of the things that's important to know is that sexual assault is one of the things that takes sort of ultimate control away from you, and that the options that survivors have on their campus are critically important. And Kevin was talking about some of the mandates on campus and the focus on Title IX obligations. And all of that is incredibly important, but it also is important to know that what needs to be communicated to the entire campus community is around all of the resources that are available, who's confidential, who's not confidential, what are the on-campus and off-campus resources available to them. So they're really gaining that sense of control back and choice back about what they pursue. A 17, 18, 19-year-old isn't going to want a whole set of dominoes to fall because they talk to one person, and that stuff needs to be very clearly articulated for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to go to some listeners right now, and for those who haven't called yet, you're thinking of calling, we are interested in finding out how you see colleges dealing with sexual assault cases on campus, if you've had personal experiences. One person, actually, Gina, this touches on something that you mentioned as well. This is Mary from Andover, who's a high school teacher. Let's hear from her. Mary?
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. And I wanted to thank Gene because he did bring up something that's part of the conversation that is left out. I teach juniors and seniors in a media literacy and civics course, so we talk about this issue. And one of the things that keeps coming up is that young women feel that it's just not right that women are taught how to avoid being raped in college, but men aren't necessarily being taught not to rape. And when 90% of violent crime in the United States is committed by men, but we're not discussing it as a gender issue, especially when it's a small, small percentage of men who are committing those crimes, and there are literally millions of men out there who don't do this, we have to discuss it. What is it about masculinity in our culture that makes it so young men either don't even realize that they're committing such an act, or that they think it's the norm and it's okay? So I really appreciate your guest bringing up that aspect of it, and it's something that really desperately needs to be discussed, because you can pass all the laws you want about how to deal with it after the fact, but this is something that will prevent it from happening. Thank you.
I think this is Gina. I would take it a step further to say that I think that one of the areas I would love to see all of this great work that's happening now take even a step further is around what sort of policies and indicators might admissions look at to identify problems with a student who might be transferring from another campus or might have had some incidents of harassment in their high school. When are we going to sort of look at perpetration and offending behavior as one of the things we might take into account when you're admitting a student?
Kevin Krueger, how hard is that to actually do? The aim, of course, is completely on point. It's a quite different problem, though, from teaching women how to avoid being raped.
Yeah, I think there are cases where students will transfer from institution to institution and continue some kind of pattern of violence. And so I think there are lots of efforts in place to have notations on the transcript so that we can minimize that kind of transference.
Actually, more specifically, though, the idea of getting men to realize that rape is wrong.
Well, yeah, I think that, yeah, so here's the thing. I think the caller is correct that the response is one thing, and that's obviously very important in terms of getting the right resources in place and how we treat the victim. But I think the larger picture really is about prevention and how we create a community and different norms in our community, particularly among men, about how they treat each other and treat women. And I think the two things, you know, and I want to add something that I think that students learn the best from students. And so some of the campuses that are doing the best work in this area are creating very expansive peer education programs. They train these peers. They do things in the community, in the Greek life area, and really try to change the way in which people understand what this is about. And you don't ever eliminate the problem, but I think that peer education process is really, really important. And to give students the skills, both bystanders as well as victims, potential victims, and address a situation where there's some risk involved like that.
This is Nedra Pickler, too. I just want to add that I think that's partly why the president is bringing this up. He wants to try to change the culture here so men mm-hmm. are talking about this problem, and it isn't just, you know, the women in Congress that are bringing up these right. issues, and maybe that young men will hear him in a different way. You know, mm-hmm. there's some statistics in this White House report that came out that are pretty stunning. It showed that 7% of college men admitted either attempting to rape or raping someone, and in a lot of cases they were serial offenders. Mm-hmm. About 63% of them had attempted it more than once, an average of 6 times. So you're talking about a problem of serial offenders. These aren't strangers either, you know, lurking mm-hmm. in the bushes on campus. These are people that the victims usually know. These are happening often at parties. So another part of this is educating fellow students to be on the lookout when they're socializing, just not for, you know, a creepy-looking stranger.
How are they allowed to be serial offenders?
Well, I think a lot of times the rapes or attempted rapes aren't reported. The statistics in this report showed only 1 in 8 victims report the crime. So you could see where someone could go on and on without ever even being, alerted to the police.
Does it?
I think Gina, this is Kevin. Gina would probably echo this, that mm-hmm. there's an element of sometimes of shame and embarrassment about it, or self-blame. Some of the women victims, and I think it's also educating them to be able to feel comfortable, if they choose, to come forward.
I think that's true, and it's also true that these folks don't look like monsters.
Right.
They look like your son, my son, and our brothers, and
that
makes it hard.
And doesn't it make sense, or perhaps it doesn't, Kevin, I'm sure you're going to have some thoughts on this, to not have kind of a blanket set of requirements for students if they say they're a victim of sexual assault, that they don't necessarily, as Gina said earlier, have to set a whole bunch of dominoes in effect, because they may not want to press charges. They
That's
may
correct.
Simply want to get help, or
That's
they may
correct.
Want to apprehend the perpetrator. It may be something well short of bringing someone to a criminal trial.
I think it's very important not to continue to victimize the victim. So the person who has experienced this trauma gets to decide how they want to proceed. If they want it to be anonymous, if they want the name to be withheld, if they want to proceed with a criminal case, if they want a campus case. Each case is individual. I think the most important thing is if someone is a victim of a sexual assault or sexual crime, to make sure that they get the kind of counseling support and medical support immediately as necessary. But we shouldn't ever say to a student who says, I don't want this to be public, to say, to make them feel bad or that they're doing something wrong by not making it public. Each woman or person who's has to be responsible for their own, what makes sense for them. And we don't want to victimize the victim.
I really agree with that, Kevin. And I also think that one of the things we see is campuses saying, oh, well, she doesn't want to come forward, so there's absolutely nothing we can do.
Is that what colleges are doing?
That's what colleges often do. So I think a lot of the things that are outlined in this fantastic report that Kevin's group did are some of the things that campuses can be doing all the time, and that they don't need to rely only on an individual survivor to take the safety And prevention measures that they should.
Want to give
so one of the things,
again.
Let me
Hang
just
on,
point
Kevin.
Out that...
Kevin, let's hear from a listener first before
yes, you
go on.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, our listener line is 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. Caroline is calling from Brockton now. Caroline?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. And I'm wondering if the school's enrollment went down due to the violence on campus, would they then take a stronger stance and pursue it? In preventing assault, it seems that they hold a lot of the responsibility, and it's falling through the cracks.
That's a very good question, Caroline. Has there been a movement, can any of our guests tell us this, to publicize the accusations or at least those cases that have been proven to be incidents of rape or assault on campus?
I can say, this is Nedra Pickler, that I think this is something we want to watch this task force that the president created for, because, you know, the education department does, for instance, have these complaints, and we had to file a Freedom of Information Act request to get those complaints. There's no public database that shows you which schools have been accused of violating the law and how those cases were resolved.
How come? And why isn't there?
Well, there are some privacy issues, and the versions that we got of these complaints have been redacted to protect the victim's identity. But one thing that the president has instructed the task force to do is to come up with ways to increase public awareness of each school's track record. So I'm not sure what they're going to do, but it's possible that maybe they are going to come up with a way to make this publicly available. And also, the task force is supposed to come up with recommendations to hold schools accountable if they don't confront the problem. So right now, the education department has the authority to withhold a school's financial aid if they're not complying with the law. And as far as we know, that's never happened. So that's a tool in our arsenal that they could begin to use in cases of violations.
And that's only for public schools, though, that are not in compliance, correct?
Right.
That receive
that's for all schools that receive, you know, federal financial aid.
Kevin, which is almost all schools, yeah.
Kevin, can you imagine, as a president of the National Association of Student Personnel Administrators, colleges agreeing to that, a public disclosure of how many rapes have happened on campus?
Well, there's already a lot of public disclosure. The Clery Act requires a number of disclosures on by campuses to report, you know, a whole range of different crimes that occur on campus. So there is some public disclosure of some of this already. I just would just add that, and I don't want to be sort of naive or defensive, but the folks who are working in this area are so committed to the rights of women in particular in these situations. And I've never in my career, 35 years, ever heard of anyone not wanting to pursue something for some kind of public relations issue. I think that there's some sense that this sweeping under the rug thing is not very common. And I think what is common is what's happening is that as the Office of Civil Rights has been more rigid with our requirements, I think campuses have been slow to catch up to some of the new requirements, and I think that's part of why we've issued this report to help educate the entire college community about what is exactly required to be in compliance with the law.
Okay, hold on, Gina. I know you wanted to say something, but I want to get in this call from Ethan from Medford. Ethan, can you hear us?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yep, go ahead.
Great. My question is, one of the panelists said that a girl can't consent while being drunk or have any sort of amount of alcohol in her. But how is a guy supposed to know? I mean, is he supposed to carry around a breathalyzer? And also, can a guy use the same argument, saying that if he was drunk, you know, that he doesn't know that it's sexual assault? Can that be used both ways? And how does a guy, you know if a woman is at all drinking?
Good questions. Gina?
I would say that one of the things to do is to start talking to your friends and the resources on your campus about those very questions. None of those questions have super easy answers because every situation is so particular. And, you know, as a mother of sons, I think educating young men about these kinds of things is incredibly important. So I think it's about having conversations and deciding what your social norms are and what your agreements are.
Quickly, Kevin or Nedra.
Yeah, well, this is also what makes it so. This is exactly what makes it so tricky. I mean, these are complex relationships, alcohol is involved 90% of the time, and no, you can't breathalyze someone before you try to seek their consent. This is what makes it very complicated.
We should say also this is an issue that is applying to students in colleges through a vast array of geographies, and we're talking private public schools, large and small. In New England, they include University of Connecticut, Amherst, Emerson College, Yale, just some of the schools now under federal investigation. If there is one move, and you can all weigh in on this, maybe, Nedra, you can tell us what seems to be the move that has the most consensus right now on the federal level. And for you, Kevin and Gina, if there's one move that could be done, one thing that could be changed, what would you want it to be?
Well, I'll start. This is Nedra. I think, you know, as a journalist, we would like to see a lot more public access to these records. And I think that, you know, Kevin was right that there are individual schools reporting their crime rates, but that's something that, you know, could be more easily accessible across a broad range of schools. And also, I think there are a lot of laws on the books already, quite frankly. So part of what's important probably to tackling this problem is just more discussion of it, like happening today.
Okay, Nedra, thank you. Kevin, very brief from you.
I would just say that I think what we could use, and I applaud the White House for pursuing this, is I think campuses could use examples of effective practice in reducing the prevalence of sexual assault on campus and what's working out there. I don't think we need new laws. The guidelines are very clear what we need to do from a policy standpoint. It's prevention we need probably the most work.
Gina.
I would agree with that, and I would want to see an inclusive frame that is very cognizant of male survivors, LGBT survivors, and other groups of students who are often overlooked in the conversation.
All right, thank you. Gene Scaramella, Executive Director of the Boston Area Rape Crisis Center, Nedra Pickler, White House reporter for the Associated Press, and Kevin Kruger, President of the National Association of Student Personnel Administrators. Thank you all. Stay with us. Coming up, Russian-American journalist Masha Gessen on the upcoming Winter Olympics in Sochi, as well as the Russian punk rockers who paid a heavy price for their political activism. I'm Lisa Mullins with Anthony Brooks, and this is Radio Boston.